wow, how do you do this? How do you just talk? I do this for a living. Hey guys, it's Alice Connor here with Table Talk, and next to me is not Taylor, because I'm doing this by myself. We thought we would experiment with some solo podcasts, shorter than the normal one, and just see kind of how that sits. So we'd love to hear your comments below this this podcast, whether it's in social media or on your podcatcher of choice. I'm going to talk to you today about a couple of games that are basically the same game, and sort of my thoughts around that and what arises from them. So those two games are Curios from AEG and Wonderwoods from Blue Orange. First of all, you should know that I am a sucker for mushrooms. I love mushrooms. I have clothing with mushrooms on them. I've got multiple games about mushrooms. I enjoy eating mushrooms and foraging for them. They're amazing. Phenomenal. Side note, did you know that the mycelial network of various kinds of mushrooms actually connect to the roots of trees in big forests and help the trees communicate with each other? Amazing. Anyway, sucker for mushrooms. And so I saw this new game. It's not that new anymore, but I think it came out last year. Wonderwoods from Blue Orange. I love Blue Orange as a publisher. They do interesting stuff. Light to medium weight stuff, I guess you could say. And so I was excited. The cute little game with what seemed to be very nice little wooden mushroom components. Kind of a bluffing hidden information game. Sounded interesting. And of course, I had to wait for it to come out. It wasn't out yet. But I looked it up on BoardGameGeek and saw that it was a re-implementation, a reskin of a previous game that I believe came out in 2019 called Curios. And I thought, okay, well, that's interesting. Let's see what that's about. Curios, in terms of like the aesthetics of it, didn't super appeal to me, but I was reading sort of the description of the game and people's reviews. And I thought, well, that looks kind of interesting. And I can get a pretty cheap copy, at least to give me a sense of what, since it's a re-implementation, what Wonderwoods is going to be like. So I ordered it for fairly cheap and got it in the mail. And I played it. And let me just say that I have a problem with it. We're going to come back to that. It is a problem that Wonderwoods solves. So that's amazing. But let me tell you just a little bit about the mechanics of this game. It is a good little deduction set collection game. It is short, satisfying. I've taken it to one of my jobs where we have a board game night and taught it to a bunch of non-gamers, and they immediately fell in love. And now when we have board game nights, they're like, did you bring the mushroom game? To be fair, I took Wonderwoods, not Curios. Anyway, they loved it, and for good reason. The mechanics are very clean. It's not super hard. It's very welcoming game, but it does... It's, I wouldn't say brain burning, but it does make your brain think a bit. So essentially, how you play Curios or Wonderwoods is this. There are four little boards on the table that signify four different kinds of things. In Curios, it's treasures from the ancient world, basically, around the world. Again, we'll get back to that. In Wonderwoods, they represent different kinds of mushrooms, like morels and now I suddenly cannot think of any other mushroom names. It represents different things that you can get. And of course, it wouldn't be a game if it didn't have victory points. Each of those mushrooms is going to signify a certain number of victory points. So you have those four kinds of things, and then you have a deck of cards. So each of those things you can get, whether it's a treasure or a mushroom, has four cards associated with it. 1, 3, 5, and 7. That signifies the points that that item will be worth at the end of the game. You carefully separate those out for each type. You randomly select one, blindly and randomly select one to hide underneath the board. And then for each one of those. And then the rest of the cards are shuffled in a deck and dealt out to the players in different ways, depending on the number of players. So essentially what you have is each player having a hidden piece of information about how, well, essentially what things are not worth because they're in your hand. And you're trying to figure out what they are worth, the card that's underneath the board. On your turn, each person has either a pawn in curios or a little basket, which is very cute in Wonderwoods, that you will then place onto those boards to take one of those items. But it gets increasingly more expensive. So if you're the first person to place on the board, you place one. If you're the second person, you place two, and then three, and then four. So, but you still only get one of the item, no matter how many you put on the board. Once everybody has placed or has to pass, then whoever has the majority of their pawn or basket on the board gets an additional one of those items. So that's actually really helpful for the mechanic. That's where you really want to be in that space if you can. And then at the end of that, after everybody has placed and received their items, you have the option to reveal a card from your hand, which gives everybody else more information, in order to essentially get another worker, another either pawn or basket, so that you have a little bit more flexibility to get things. So you're still essentially trying to guess what's in other people's hands, what's underneath the boards, and thus how many, what is worth good points. And again, those cards are 1, 3, 5, 7. So like you may end up with a ton of umbrella mushrooms or parasol mushrooms, I guess they're called, and they're only worth 1 point. I've absolutely been in games where everything was worth 1 point, which was hilarious. So at the end of the game, after you have essentially run out of two of the things that you can get, two of the kinds of the things you can get, you count up your points, which is you flip over the cards that each one is worth and you multiply that number by however many of that item you have, and then add it all up. Pretty straightforward. Whole game takes 10 minutes, 15 if people are, you know, chatting and yucking it up. Very quick, and just when I have played, I don't think we've ever just played once. It's been multiple times in a row. Very fun. Usually when the cards are flipped over, there's a lot of, oh no, or oh, I knew that, ha ha ha, you screwed up, that kind of thing. A little bit of take that action, which I enjoy. Great mechanics, love it. Again, it's fast, it's fun, it's a little bit thinky. You can very much socialize while you are playing. Let's talk about the caveat. So, curios is based loosely, it is abstract, but it's based loosely on essentially being kind of Indiana Jones types, going around the world and getting treasures from places in the ancient world. We know that this is problematic because it's sort of based on colonialism, as though we, the explorers, typically white people, know better what to do with the treasures of various cultures and of the ancient world. I am deeply amused by, horrified, but deeply amused by the shade thrown by the Greek government by building a second Parthenon, basically, at the bottom of the hill that is a museum in which to house the Elgin marbles that the British Museum has, and has a lovely brochure about why it's okay for them to have it. It's kind of like that. You're going around and collecting treasures. Now, in this game, those treasures are those kind of chunky plastic jewel pieces. I don't like those. I don't care much for, say, the Century Golem editions. Aesthetically, I get why they did that, again, to kind of remove some of that colonial vibe of the Century games. In this particular situation, I don't like the aesthetics of the jewels. I don't like how they feel in my hand. But more than that, I really just don't like the vibe. Even though, again, this is fairly abstract, right? As these things go, it's less difficult than some other games I've played. But it's still uncomfortable. Let's put it that way. I think it was well and good. I was intrigued and fascinated to see that Blue Orange had somehow gotten the license for the mechanics of this game. What's interesting about that is that if you look on BoardGameGeek, Curios is listed without a designer, which is fascinating. Somebody clearly designed it. I don't know why it's not listed. And then, of course, it's the exact same mechanics, having played both of them. And Wonderwoods is listed with the designer, Eli Wolf, on the cover of the box. But on the back, in the small print, it says, based on an original idea by Eli Wolf. What does that mean? Fascinating. And I've tried contacting Blue Orange and just have not got any information back. So if anybody knows, I would love to know. How do you find that out? Why do you have such a good mechanism, like a pretty decent game, honestly, that I would recommend to lots of people, with such weird sort of history, if that makes sense? Anyway, I love the Wonderwoods reskin, the re-implementation as mushrooms, because it works with the mechanics. You are still collecting something, but you're not stealing it from other countries or other people. You're really just going into the woods to harvest mushrooms, to forage for mushrooms, and you have a cute little basket that you carry it with. And that makes total sense to me. The pieces are also very nice. They're little tiny wooden mushrooms with a little bit of screen print on them, and the baskets are lovely colors. Like the aesthetics of it are much better. The blue orange people know how to do that. Thank you, folks. And those pieces, those bits, come in a paper bag that's reusable, sort of folds down at the top, which I so appreciate. Taylor and I have complained and talked about how much plastic there is in the industry for so long. And it's just delightful to see somebody actually trying to make a difference there. When we're already making something new, which we know environmentally is itself a problem, the most sustainable thing is the thing that already exists, which could be cars, houses, games. This is why I do not yet currently own a copy of Catan, because I don't want to buy a new one. I need to get a decent secondhand copy. So I appreciated, when we know that it's going to be a brand new thing, that the packaging is better for the environment. As I recall, the box had stickers on the sides rather than a coating, like a wrapping of plastic, which I realize can be difficult because it could peel off some of the paint or the printing on the outside of the box. This didn't, so that's good. The cards had a paper ribbon around the outside to hold them together. And as I said, the bits came in a paper bag that's reusable. So that was really lovely. And it fits with the aesthetic. It feels good in the hand. It looks good to the eye. Good work. Essentially what I'm saying here in the end is I really appreciate when a game company can take a good design, that is a good mechanic, a good gameplay, and change the look of it, change the theme of it to be something interesting, but that isn't yet another 18th century industrialist, I guess it should be 19th century industrialist, or somehow let's go trade with the brown people in the global south kind of situation. That is historical, is part of what humans have done. We have that in the historical record. So it's not offensive on the surface. But the fact that there are so many games that recreate this and kind of without any real thought, that bothers me. I think about Furnace, and I feel like Taylor and I maybe have talked about this, but I'm gonna just dive into it for a moment. When I think about Furnace, which is a really excellent game, would recommend, excellent deck builder, engine builder kind of game that rewards you when you are not able to get one of the cards that you want. There's some bidding tokens that you place on a market of cards. Those cards each do things. And if you do not win the auction to get one of those cards, you get some sort of compensation at the top of the card. I love that. I love both simultaneous play and a way in which on essentially someone else's turn, everybody else also gets something. Lovely. It's also very quick. It's very neat. So that's phenomenal. So many thumbs up for Furnace. The thing about Furnace is, though, it is yet another industrialists in the 1800s converting various resources from the earth into money. Fair enough, that's easy. But that could be other themes. The one that I have said to many people is you could reskin it to be about chocolate, just like Azul reskinned their tile game to be about chocolates. So if you'll hear me out, if you know anything about Furnace, if you think about the pieces of that, the coal could be cacao nibs, like the raw materials, right? The little metal bars could become chocolate bars. The oil barrels could become truffles, right? And again, you know, the game, that's sort of the increase in value of the items. You could still have money. I mean, that's fine. And the guy on the cover with his big tall stovepipe hat could 100% be a chef wearing a toque. And the timer for the game, the brilliant timer for the four rounds of the game that's essentially a gear that shifts down, could be a mixer. I'm just saying, it would be so easy. And it would still very much fit with the theme of the game and the mechanics of the game. This is not that hard. Could we be more creative with the themes of these kinds of games? This is my question. The answer is yes. this is hard to do, it turns out, solo. There's no one to play off of. I need someone to talk to. Extrovert problems.